From the Liquor Mockup for In-Flight Class 246, you're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello, and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heaser. If you listened to the episode a couple months ago called Tell Me I'm Cute, you learned a little about flight attendant training and their graduation. One of the events around their training is called the Liquor Mockup. I recently attended the mockup for Flight 246, and as I walked in the training room, all 80-plus soon-to-be flight attendants made a human archway just to get into the room. You know, it made everyone feel as though they were going to play into the Super Bowl or I don't know, just finished a YMCA youth soccer game. Anyway, I was wondering when this tradition started, and I tried to find out. I posed the question of when did liquor mockups start to John Zanicki, manager of in-flight training.
It's been going on since I've been here, and even when I was in class in 1996 is when I came in as a candidate, the liquor mockup was always one of those events that as candidates we have an opportunity to serve drinks, a little bit of a practice to get us ready for the job, but also to interact and mingle with employees at the company. And we've done liquor mock-ups. We've done them, you know, on the deck in the summertime. We do them in here. It's always been a part of the culture, and it's been one of those events that we celebrate. You know, there's.
Is it a test?
No.
They're not graded on it?
No, they're not graded on it. As a matter of fact, the last exam or the last thing that they're graded on was this morning, and that was their comprehensive exam. So if you notice how excited they are, it's because there are no more tests.
This class is done, except for their what?
For the most part, they're done. Tomorrow, they get their wings. Tomorrow's graduation ceremony.
Oh, so they've already done their OE?
The OE, the operational experience. They did those Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, so they were out there flying. They're very, very excited. That comprehensive is that last event that takes place before graduation. It's going to be a special one because this class, they celebrate several milestones. All classes do throughout the training program. This one has been, I'm going to call it the class of celebrations for the most part. They were here for the Dallas Spirit Party, which they all attended. They were here for Halloween at headquarters that they all participated in. You know, our theme was superheroes, and it was amazing to see 76 candidates dressed up as Wonder Woman and Hulk and Superman.
Many of which who are from out of town and don't have access to their closet full of old Halloween costumes.
Well, we do send them a welcome package before they get here, and we gave them a little heads up that you will be participating in a celebration here at headquarters. Being Halloween, please bring a costume, keeping in mind the theme is superheroes.
It's bound to be unusual that they were here for a spirit party and then Halloween. Sometimes I've seen them at chili cook-offs, that sort of thing.
Well, we always celebrate. You know, one thing we tell them is that they're going to work hard. They're going to work really hard here in training and out on the line. But we also celebrate, and we also have a lot of fun. Now, we're not going to compromise safety by any means, but we're going to work hard, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have fun doing it, and we're going to, you know, identify those opportunities when we can celebrate. The deck parties, the spirit parties, Halloween, liquor mock-up. So, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
What class were you in?
I was in class 138.
Wow, and this is 246?
246.
I imagine the people department has a pool of candidates ready to go almost at a moment's notice.
They have to maintain a pool because, you know, in the event that we're ready to have a class, we've got to have people ready. You know, we've got to do all the background work that takes people, you know, in order to get them here, they've got to do a lot of background work. So I think the pool, you know, there's a couple hundred in the pool, just ready and waiting.
Well, John didn't know exactly, but maybe 28-year employee and vice president of InFlight, Mike Hafner, will know.
Do you know the history of these events, how long they've been going on, liquor mock-ups?
Gosh, no. It's been.
I mean, has it been going on since class number one or two?
I wouldn't doubt it. I think at one point they used to use this as a chance for them to serve drinks, right? And they'd serve the people.
So they don't really serve right now?
Oh, no. No, we're serving them.
This is a training party, really.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Well, I remember in the old days, probably mid-90s or so, when I was in the headquarters here, and, you know, they'd say, what can I get you? Oh, I'd like a Corona, or, you know, something that I knew that they didn't have. And they're like, well, we don't have that. well, what do you have? You know, and I'd make them go through the list, you know.
They always loved you being there, didn't they?
I wouldn't bust him on it if it was.
No.
Well, no, he didn't know either. The audio didn't exactly come out, but I asked Senior Director of In-Flight when the mock-up started. Certainly, the Senior Director would know. Nah, he didn't know. He's only been here since 1995, so I'll cut him a break. But I also asked our Vice President of Customer Relations and Rapid Rewards, Jim Ruppel, who started in 1978. Southwest only started in 1971. Nope, it was already going by then, so he didn't know either. As it works out, I couldn't find anyone who knew this little factoid of why and when these liquor mock-ups started. Now, it's safe to say that when I learn this, I will let you know. Or if by chance you know, you can comment on the blog associated with this podcast. Not all of the flight attendants in this class are new hires. Mike and Eileen already worked in other departments.
And I'm talking with Mike, who is a new flight attendant. Congratulations on getting through training.
Thank you.
You actually graduate tomorrow, I believe.
Right, that's right, tomorrow.
And you, this is not your first job at Southwest. Where'd
no,
you start at?
I started in res and then worked my way out to the ramp, then ramp soup, and here I am in flight.
And how long did that path take?
I've been here 9.5 years, so yeah, it's been a while. I feel very blessed to be here.
You're one of the more senior, probably the most senior employee out of this in-flight group.
Unfortunately, it goes by age, so some
no.
of
them
are...
You've been with the company 9-something years, and that doesn't count.
Yeah, I got to give it up to my more seasoned flight attendants here. But I'm okay with that. I'm just...
But your number is lower than them, than theirs, even though they have...
Right. I still got to keep my number, but, you know, I just am really blessed to be here. You know, it's a great bunch of flight attendants, and looking forward to starting my new step in Southwest career here.
Did you find the training any easier due to your knowledge of the company and just general knowledge of aviation?
I'm not going to lie to you. This training was very tough, but I learned a lot, and it was a great experience.
We were from San Jose, and how long have you been with the company?
I've been with the company 5.5 years.
And so how'd training go for you? Obviously, you passed, I guess.
This training was brutal. It's not all about peanuts and cocktails. It's I haven't studied for a long time, so it was...
Well, and any issues on your OE?
No, they had fun with me, played some tricks, made it all fun. Captain wanted some coffee, and they pushed me in there, and to see the sunrise up in the flight deck was pretty amazing. Beautiful.
It's pretty hard to be selected to be invited to an in-flight class, so when you get the call, people tend to make it work. Here's Jenny's story.
I got married the week before training, so I got married, went on my honeymoon, got back Saturday, and came to training that Sunday. So my entire married life, I've been in a Southwest training class, and it's been awesome. It's been insane, but it's been awesome.
I guess your husband's been missing you?
A little bit, yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from Dallas, yeah.
I heard something happened to you in training with Name That Tune.
Yes. Well, only one of my favorite, gorgeous-looking, wonderful singers came. And whenever he walked in, I'm going, oh, my gosh, that's such a good look-alike. And then I heard that amazing, gorgeous voice, and I lost it. So it was a dream come true.
You were playing Name That Tune, and not only did you know the tune, the song, but you knew the whole song, you know all the words, and you started singing it. And then who's the artist?
Richie from Lone Star, the lead singer.
And so he walked in the room singing the song.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He was singing with me, and he sang to me, too. Well, he sings the song Amazed, and he sang, Jenny, I'm amazed by you.
It works out that Richie McDonald from Lone Star knows someone in in-flight training and was visiting that day. The Name That Tune game was set up for him to come into the class, but Jenny knew the song so well that Richie played along. I wish I had a video of it. I spoke with Terry, a trainee who had an interesting non-human passenger.
I'm Steve Heaser. I work in communications. I do a podcast called Red Belly Radio. And I understand on your operational experience flight, you had a rather unusual guest.
Yes, Steve. Yes, I did. I had a wonderful guest. I had the cutest little koala bear. They brought him in a cage, about the size of a big dog cage. We put him on the front row of seats. And you could look in and take a peek, but the woman wouldn't allow us to take pictures or anything because she didn't want to frighten them. But there was a little tree inside the cage. It was the most cutest thing in the world.
Eucalyptus?
Yeah, I believe so. Probably
that's what they eat, I think. So did the lady realize that this is not Qantas Airlines?
I don't know. You know, I asked her. We were on our flight from Houston to San Diego. So she was going to the zoo. I think she worked at the zoo. And she said she was getting out of the koala bear business. And
is there a koala bear business?
Apparently. I did not know that.
Who knew?
I didn't know either. So she was getting out of the koala bear business and getting into the red panda business.
Red panda?
Red panda.
Is that different from the black and white pandas that we all know?
Well, you know, she wasn't that vocal, so I didn't get all the information I really wanted. I really wanted to hold this cute little animal. But, of course, they got
claws. It probably bite your neck off or something.
Yeah, I think that would be a chance.
I have no idea the temperament of koala bears. I really don't know. But a red panda. Well, I'm going to put the research department of Red Belly Radio behind that one and find out about red pandas.
You know something, Steve? Maybe she meant red panther.
Well, I never heard of a red panther either, for that matter.
Communist panda.
Communist panda. It's funny because China.
Anyway. Yeah, I know.
Did the koala bear have its own ticket?
Actually, the koala bear had two tickets because the
cage was
large enough, so we put him in the front row. He had two seats, and the caretaker had one seat, so they took up the whole row. Yeah.
And were they allowed to pre-board? Is that a condition if you're traveling with a panda, you're allowed to pre-board?
No, it wasn't a panda. It was a koala.
I mean, a koala.
Do not confuse them, please.
Well, they're both cute.
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And I heard about they have penguins sometimes come on the plane, and the penguins walk down the aisle.
From time to time, SeaWorld has done that.
I'm telling you, I'm in love with animals, so I would love to see that. So this just made my day.
Now, as promised, the Red Belly Radio Research Department, which is to say I Googled the red panda. The red panda, also known as a fire cat, fat fox, or lesser panda, but my favorite alternate name is a firefox. So if you use the internet browser Firefox, you might notice the logo is a curled-up, fox-looking creature, a firefox, or a red panda. I have to assume they planned that. Now, like the giant panda, red panda's diet consists mainly of bamboo, but the red panda is not related to the giant panda at all. It's more akin to a skunk or raccoon. It's slightly larger than a domestic house cat. It lives in the Himalayas in southern China, India, Laos, Nepal, Burma. Their population continues to decline due to habitat fragmentation. There's an estimated population of fewer than 2,500 mature red pandas. So there, more than you probably ever wanted to know about the red panda. Not to be confused with the Red Belly aircraft that I work for. Okay, back to the topic at hand. It's become a tradition that the working flight attendants kind of play pranks on the newbie flight attendants in training during their operational experience flights. Lily tells her story.
Experience on the flight was fantastic. The crew was great. They introduced me.
They didn't play any tricks on you?
Yes, they did.
Oh, they did?
And the passengers were in on it also, telling me that's not...
How do they pull that off?
Well, they announced me, and everybody was paying attention to what I was doing. And then when I was in the back getting drinks ready, they went and talked to a couple of businessmen, and I guess they picked the most serious guys on the flight, and they said, when she comes around and brings you your drink, tell them that's not what you order.
So they did.
They did. The customers did. And then I looked at them.
So you threw the drink at them.
Actually, I just winked at him and I said, be a good sport and drink it.
That's great.
And then they laughed. And then they said, we were only playing a joke on you. And I said, now that you told me that, now you're going to drink this one and the next one and the next one. And no more peanuts for you.
Yeah.
So, but it was good. It was good. And then at the end of the flight, another flight attendant told me to take a drink to a customer that didn't order the drink. But that was okay. The customer was looking at me like, what are you doing?
And what's the worst that happens there? They get a free drink?
Yeah, I said, oh, I just thought you needed a Bloody Mary. So, and then another thing that they did was at the end of my trip, they announced that I was new and that this was the last of the trip. And apparently they had handed out napkins to everybody on the flight. And then they said, let's all say goodbye to Lily. So everybody started clapping. And then they threw the napkins at me. And when I grabbed the napkins, it was passengers wishing me the best and congratulations. It was really, really nice. I didn't want to get off.
If you have any ideas that you would like to hear on future podcasts, why don't you give our new Red Belly Radio hotline a try? Call 214-792-4300 and leave me a message. I have to warn you, though, your voice might wind up on a forthcoming episode. Or you can always email me at redbellyradio@wnco.com. It's redbellyradio is all one word, WN like Nancy, CO.com. Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2008. The captain has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.